welcome to Health Matters on Noongar Radio. You can catch the program every fortnight on a Wednesday, I'm getting it wrong again, at 11 a.m. And you can hear the replay after Inside Out. That's Sunday night at 9 o'clock. A very, very important issue, like every issue that comes across this program, but very, very important to our mob. And we're talking about diabetes today. It's very close to my heart, being a type 2 diabetic as well. Joining me in the studio, I have Mark Shah. And Mark, you're the co-lead, is it co-leader?
Co-lead.
What happened to the air?
I don't know.
Of the Diabetes Network. Tell us a bit about yourself, Mark, and then we'll have a yarn with Megan and Helen, our other guests here.
Yeah, sure. I'm a nurse practitioner working in diabetes at Princess Margaret Hospital for Children, but I also, as you mentioned, I'm the co-leader of the Endocrine Network and Diabetes Endocrine Network for the Department of Health, and that's a really important role to improve services and quality of services across the state.
Great to have you with us today, Mark. And Assistant Director of Networks of Department of Health, Megan Burley, great to have you in here. Megan, if you could tell us a bit about yourself as well.
Yeah, thanks, Big Mama. I'd love to. I'm with the department in the health networks. And what we do with health networks is make sure we bring together the voices of everyone that's interested in a particular issue. So make sure the consumers, people who care for sick people, all the way through to community organisations, as well as the doctors and nurses, have a say in things that can be improved across the state with health services.
And Helen Mitchell, the General Manager of Health Services and Diabetes WA, had a lot of dealing with Diabetes WA here at Noongar Radio, but great to have you in. Tell us a bit about yourself, Helen.
Good morning, Bigel. Thank you for having us on the radio today. So I work at Diabetes WA and manage the health services. So I'm part of the team that plans and delivers all of the services out into the community. And so we're a not-for-profit charity and we're a consumer-based organisation. So we work with people and we work with the department and the system. So we work with both Mark and Megan in the job that we do to give the best service, best quality to people with diabetes across the state.
Mm. What actually is diabetes? Because with our mob, we say sugar.
Yeah, well,
we got sugar, but sugar. Let's break it down and get a bit clinical about it if we can.
Sure.
But at the same time, get a clear message to people of understanding exactly what is diabetes.
Yeah, well, that's sugar is an important word because it really is all about sugar or glucose in the blood, amongst other things. But diabetes is quite a complex condition, and it's sometimes quite difficult for people to understand. It's something they can't see, and unlike a broken leg or a cut on the skin, diabetes it's inside and it's a bit sort of hidden, if you like.
Mm.
So it's our job to try and explain what it is, and what it is there's a problem with regulating sugar in the blood, and there's many types of diabetes. The three major types are type 1, type 2, and also diabetes in pregnancy, which is quite a serious condition. But type 1 diabetes is a condition that affects mainly younger people, but it can affect older people too. And they need to inject a hormone called insulin. When you talk about diabetes, it's all about how insulin works or doesn't work. And so insulin responds to glucose levels in the blood, and it allows glucose to enter the cells, and such as muscle, for energy. So in type 1 diabetes, that hormone is lacking, and so people are unable to really function. Their muscles aren't able to get energy. So that's type 1 diabetes. And type 2 diabetes is a little bit different, where the body doesn't make enough insulin, but also the cells don't respond to its action properly. So it's a bit more complicated. And gestational diabetes happens in pregnancies as a result of, it's really the hormones in pregnancy, but also genetic risk as well.
Mm. So there's all different types.
Mm.
And looking at PMH, I mean, are there many of our bubs and young children with type 1?
With type 1 diabetes...
Not any statistics or numbers or...
So type 1 diabetes, as I mentioned, is more common in children. But for Aboriginal children, it's type 1 diabetes is quite rare. It's unusual to get type 1 diabetes for Aboriginal people. They're more at risk of the other type of diabetes, type 2 diabetes, which is, I guess, what the major type of diabetes we're talking about today. Yeah.
We're going to go to some music and then we'll find out some of the symptoms of diabetes, and a lot of them go under the radar. And, I might even share some of my stories. Here's Phil Wally Stack with Man of Culture. And you're listening to me, Big Girl, and on Health Matters with the topic of diabetes. In the studio I have Megan, Mark and Helen, some of our experts in the field.
Here I come.
Stack on Health Matters here at Noongar Radio, and that was Man of Culture. And our topic today on Health Matters is diabetes, and Mark, we were going over exactly what diabetes is, and it is a hard thing to describe, as you mentioned, because it's something that's not visible, like a broken leg. Now, what are some of the symptoms? Because this is, in terms of recognising that you do have a disease, this is one of those tricky ones, I believe, as a diabetic.
Yeah, certainly. I might switch over to Helen, actually, because Helen might be really good.
Yeah, we need to hear from Helen and Megan. We'll all get a turn here because you've all got some great stuff to bring to the table today.
Thanks, big girl. I think it's really interesting. We often hear from people who have developed diabetes that they think they might have had it for a long time and didn't actually realise, because the symptoms often are passed off for other things. So the symptoms that we know people often get are they feel tired or weak, they're going to the toilet a lot, they're really, really thirsty, their eyes get blurry, or their vision deteriorates. So they think, oh, I might need to update my glasses, or I'm just getting a bit older, so maybe some of these things are happening. That they feel hungry all the time, wanting to snack all the time. They get a sore somewhere, often on their feet or on their sort of below the knees, and it's just not getting better. And also that their mood might be going up and down quite a lot, and they're not really sure why. So when you think about these symptoms, if they're just on and off throughout a week or building over time, people write them off as, oh, I'm getting older, I've been really busy so I'm tired, life's a bit stressful, this is why I'm feeling like that, I'm eating more because I'm stressed. So all of these things just get written off as part of ageing. So a lot of the time people don't know they have diabetes till they present to their doctor or are talking to a friend about diabetes or someone else that's got it, and then all of a sudden they realise they have it. So that's the symptoms of type 2 diabetes. And type 1 diabetes, those symptoms are escalated, so they go really, that happens really fast, and it's more people lose weight and they present at hospital because they get very, very sick. But type 2 diabetes is where there's those long term build of symptoms over time.
Yeah, and another thing that I've found is if you might have some friends or family members and you all talk about these symptoms, but you're not talking about them as symptoms, just like, oh, you know, I've got a weak bladder and blah, 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 you know. And without knowing, you know, all your friends that you're talking to about the same similar symptoms, you're on the diabetes club. So it definitely is a tricky one.
Yeah, that's an important point, though. It is important to talk about it amongst the family members, and actually you learn a lot about it, you know, how other people are feeling.
It's very important, because I think then sometimes it takes someone else to go, well, hey, have you checked those things up? Might be worth going and having a check-up. And then you can manage your diabetes really well, and the symptoms can go away pretty much, and then you feel stronger and happier and healthier, and that helps a lot.
So is there anything that we can actually do to prevent getting diabetes?
Yes, there is. It's really important also to realise that type 1 diabetes, which Mark described as where your body doesn't produce insulin anymore, so there's a hormone in your body that's not produced, an organ's kind of knocked out, doesn't work anymore, so you have to replace it with needles. Whereas with type 2 diabetes, that's the one that develops a bit more slowly over time, and that is preventable in quite a lot of cases. So there's some things that you can, you know, can change, and there's some things that you can't. So the things that you can't change are how old you are, if you're over 40, if you're an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander person or from other cultural backgrounds, whether you've had diabetes during your pregnancy, whether your family's had diabetes, can't change those things. But the preventable things you can do is you can choose to eat a healthy diet, watch how much you're eating, the portion sizes, how much you're putting on your plate at each time, how physically active you are. So that's kind of the energy in, energy out. If you're eating lots of food, you're putting lots of energy into your body. If you don't use all that energy by being physically active, then it stores it. That means you put on weight, so manage having a healthy weight. And then all those things are part of managing good heart health, so your cholesterol and your blood pressure. And the other one is to try and cut down or quit your smoking.
Sounds so easy.
Oh, it never is.
Look, I'm speaking for our listeners. It sounds so easy, but no.
It's really not easy.
Yeah.
It's really hard work. And that's, I suppose, Diabetes WA and the professionals here are here to help people do that, because we recognise this is a hard thing, because a lot of these behaviours have taken years and years and years to slowly creep up, and for people to put on weight or for people to increase their smoking. And we need help to cut down on those things or to change those behaviours, because they're lifelong behaviours. The important thing to remember with managing type 2 diabetes is, or because your doctor tells you you have diabetes, we have people come in, go, I'm really hungry, I've chucked out all the diabetic food in my cupboard and I'm eating crackers and I'm and tomato and, you know, I can't eat potato, I can't eat rice, I can't eat all these things. Well, really, you just have to unpack it all and go, okay, what are the small changes I need to make that I can make in order to do them for the rest of my life? And so small changes over time will make a huge difference. And it doesn't mean you have to lose 20 kilos in one hit.
Mm.
A 5 kilo loss or a 10% body weight loss,
you'll see a difference.
Makes a massive difference to your blood glucose levels and how you manage your diabetes and how you feel. So small things are really, really important. Small steps should be celebrated.
Yes, I go for that. I've been doing that, and my sugar's under control now. I was in hospital for an abscess, and my sugar was absolutely disgusting when I went in there. I think it was high, which means there's no reading. then it came down into the 20s, and I thought, oh, that's getting good, but it's still not good enough. But when I got out, I thought, well, they've pumped all this insulin into me because when you do have complications with your diabetes and you do get hospitalised, you're not allowed to get out until you're not so sweet. But I thought, wow, I'm down to like 4 to 6, which is a pretty good reading if you're not aware of the blood sugar levels that a diabetes should have. So I thought, well, I'm going to keep it down there. And you're totally right, Helen. And it was quite simple. I didn't exercise or anything. And I'm still 6 to 8. But it was just those little things. And some of the little things for me was trying to have meals with less bread or no bread at all. So I substituted bread with some nice noodles and veggies and chickens and stuff like that. Habits are like 2 toasts, 2 eggs or whatever. You can do it on one, or you can have scrambled eggs and
stretch it.
You can stretch it. But I found that I think bread is a huge thing, especially white bread. And when I looked at it, even cutting bread out a bit, and really looking at those labels as well, was absolutely huge.
Yeah. What you're talking about there is the value of understanding and education, isn't it, really?
That's
a really important part of for someone looking after diabetes.
Yeah, there's lots of little tricks. And Helen, you've got some great books. Can I just do a quick plug?
Yes,
that'd be lovely. For these? So you've got brought in lots of these little books, and it's great because I can see all Aboriginal faces on it. And now 2 of them you've just put together for type 1 or type 2 diabetes and healthy mum, healthy bub. So we're talking about pregnancy here, and also gestational diabetes, healthy mum, healthy bub. So having gestational diabetes. And do you think that we've clarified that enough, what gestational diabetes is?
But we didn't talk about enough, I don't think. No, yeah. I think it's important to realise that people do, mums who have a risk of diabetes in their family, are at risk of developing diabetes in pregnancy. And there's been a change now into the level at which diabetes in pregnancy is diagnosed. And and there's a reason for that, is that we know that the babies of the mothers with diabetes can be at risk of further problems later in life. So the earlier it's picked up, where there is, you know, slightly higher glucose levels in pregnancy, the better. So
are there any other things apart from high glucose levels, or
that
that we detect to say, look, this woman's got gestational.
That's the test. That's the test. Yeah. Yes, the high glucose levels.
So, are all women tested in pregnancy? Do you think, or
depends on risk.
How do you know if you've got a risk? That's a bit of a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I only say that because I got caught out on my first bub with gestational. I was not picked up. And then having my second bub, I was probably into my seventh month and it was picked up.
Yeah.
But I actually knew that I had something, but no, yeah.
I think.
And how I thought was the baby's was big.
Yeah, so it's
12 pound, big.
Yep, yep.
And 11 pound, the first one, and then 12, 15, so nearly 13 pound baby.
Yeah, it's a big baby. So that, that child is, you know, at risk of developing sort of being a bit overweight as an adult too. So it's really important that the pregnancy and diabetes is picked up early.
So if you are pregnant or you know someone that is or. You're wanting to do get checked out. Just get checked out for everything and anything because there's a lot of testing in pregnancy because baby is at risk as well after delivery as well. So it's not just about you; it's about bub.
I think it's really important too with gestational diabetes. If someone in your family has type 2 diabetes, definitely raise it with your doctor or your medical service that you're seeing during your pregnancy and let them know. And the symptoms that we talked about are really important too at that stage. So if you've got any of those symptoms or you know, or if you've had previous babies that are quite big, or your mum has had gestational diabetes or an auntie, it's just worth letting the doctor know so then they can actually do the test and you can find out. And then you can manage it throughout your pregnancy. It does go away after your pregnancy because what it is your body's under lots of pressure growing that baby, so then the systems that produce the insulin become under the same pressure as well, so your insulin's not working quite as well as it should be because your body's doing a whole heap of other things. And then we can do some things about it. Diabetes WA has the resources available. You can call us and we can send those resources out to you.
What's the number? What's the number?
The number is 1-300-136-588. The other important bit about gestational diabetes, if they put you, if they say you do have it, the doctor will ask to put you on the NDSS, which is the National Diabetes Services Scheme, which is a register for all people that have diabetes. But that entitles you to access products for testing and support services from Diabetes WA to help you deal with your diabetes. And that's free. And then they keep you on the register for a couple of years in case you have another baby or to send you some information following up because it's important for you to look after your health as well as the babies afterwards so you don't progress to get type 2 diabetes.
And if you see one of these flash-looking books around with Vince Ugel.
Yes.
Hey, Vince Ugel is a great ambassador for diabetes and lost a lot of weight and sugar under control and I don't think he goes to the doctors no more.
No, he doesn't. Nah. And he tells a great story about following the booklet and about portion size. That's what really led him on his journey.
Yeah, and that booklet that you're talking about is a pictorial guide and it's so easy. I remember looking at this and I started on it and I thought, man, I am so dumb. This is so easy. And Vince said it was so easy too because there's not a lot of words. There's a lot of pictures there that just tells you what to eat, how much to eat, and about those different choices. So good on Diabetes WA for bringing those out. People can get hold of those. Do you have them at Durbel?
I think they are available through most of the Aboriginal medical services or the Aboriginal health services, or you can hop online or ring us and we can send them directly to you.
We've been talking a lot. We better go to some music. And we're going to come back definitely and have a chat with you, Megan. We're going to give you a go. But we could be here all day talking about diabetes. Sounds like we're all passionate about it. But time to have a yarn with Megan Mitchell, General Manager of Health Services in Diabetes. No, I did this wrong again. Poor Megan. Megan Burley, Assistant Director of Networks, Department of Health. Sorry, Megan.
Oh, that's okay, big girl.
Now, we're going to talk to you about diabetes in the Aboriginal population, and we're just looking at WA today. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And so in WA, the Department of Health over the last few years has done a lot of work at trying to understand Aboriginal health and put together a really fantastic document about Aboriginal health and well-being. And some of the things they found, which, you know, when I tell you about them, they're not unique just for Aboriginal people. These are things that actually everyone needs to do. We need to eat more fruit. So these are some things that they found that the Aboriginal population need to do. Eat more fruit. You need to have a lot more vegetables. And, you know, try and cut down on the alcohol consumption and really work to maintain a healthy weight. And as I said, that actually goes for everyone, not just Aboriginal people. But when we looked at the statistics for Aboriginal people, if you think of, let's say, 10 friends and family members, when I say to you, when the department says you've got to eat more fruit, if those 10 friends or family members, the statistics are showing that only 4 of those friends or family are eating enough fruit.
Mm.
And
can you tell us what they are actually eating then? If they're not eating...
Yeah. Well, they're probably eating a lot of carbohydrates like bread.
Bread, yeah.
The other thing is those 10 friends, only one of those friends is eating enough vegetables.
Wow.
So that's some of the things that the department found out and helped them put lots of information together about what Aboriginal population can do to help their health and well-being. And when you eat those fruit and vegetables and cut down on your alcohol and improve your weight, as we heard earlier from Mark and Helen, they're the things that will help you prevent and even manage your diabetes. So some of the things that you can start to do is... give your children water instead of the sugary drinks, because we know sugary drinks are full of the glucose, and we've just heard from Mark before that diabetes is all about sugar and the glucose in the blood. So starting with your children and helping them be healthy, water's the best choice. Make sure you're eating a really balanced diet and not full of those carbohydrates. It's easy to reach for a piece of bread because it's really convenient, isn't it? But it just takes some action and some plans and a little bit of self-discipline to make sure you have that balanced diet. And when you're doing that, you're modelling to your children what healthy eating is.
What about damper? Megan, damper.
Well, you know, everything in moderation, big girl.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I love damper when I go camping. It's one of my favourite memories as a child. We'd make damper out on the beach.
Yeah.
But it's in moderation.
Well, you can actually make healthy damper too, you can mix a bit of the white flour with almond flour. That's right.
Yeah.
A bit of that in Warburton area.
There you go. One of those simple little changes that you can make. You know, the other thing is to really keep active. Find things that you can do with your family and your community, things that you enjoy doing, like going fishing or getting involved in sports with your mates at lunchtime or in the afternoon or the weekend. And it's about being healthy at every stage of your life. We've heard about gestational diabetes when you're pregnant, so making sure you're healthy when you're pregnant, not just for yourself but for your bub. Then when you've got the children, how can you help them keep healthy with their healthy life and their eating? As they get into adolescence as well as adults and also really healthy aging. So there's some of the things that the department have really looked at and put together and identified as important things for Aboriginal people.
I reckon a hard job. It's a hard job. Oh, jingoes. And it is about the tiny, small choices. Because, look, I really don't want to make people feel bad, but we all feel guilty hearing these things and getting shame or, oh, that's what I should be doing or whatever. But it really, from someone with type 2 diabetes and on 2 needles per day and medication and on the roller coaster of, you know, high diabetes and then very well controlled diabetes and my weight loss going up and down, it is about the small changes, and it is about honesty and willpower to keep it there. It's very easy just to flip-flop and go back to how you were. And I think not so much peer pressure, but social pressure of having to have the same as other people is very strong within our mob anyway.
Definitely,
yeah. You know, yeah. So there's that as well. But at the same time, on a positive note, if we're all doing the right thing for our bodies, then, you know, there'll be no one sticking out.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a... there's also that culture of working together. So also if you have a bad day and you have a chocolate or you have, you know, you have an extra piece of bread or you're at a celebration or something, don't beat yourself up about it. Get up the next day.
Exactly.
Reset the clock and start again. It's when we kind of go, oh, we're off the track now. Whatever.
I think you are spot on, Helen. That I think that's the way it goes with me at times as well.
Don't beat yourself up. You don't need the guilt. You don't need the stress. You just go, right, I'm going to reset my clock today and I'm starting again. I've had a rough day and this is what it's about, so let's go again. And find those people around you that will support you in doing that and give you that positive encouragement. We often hear people's stories from people with diabetes that they refer to some people as the diabetes police, that it might even be their family and friends that think they're doing the right thing. Should you be eating that? Put that down. You shouldn't be having that. Is that going to affect your diabetes? It just makes you feel awful.
Yeah, I think that's got a lot to do with it, you know, is your mindset as well, and get into a positive.
Yeah.
Get back on the horse I don't know, can't remember what you said there, Helen.
Back on the wagon.
back on the wagon, the horse, whatever. And, get back on, because you can do it.
You can do it.
So, yeah, have faith in yourself.
Yeah.
And just keep doing it. And, you know, set some little goals for yourself. Nothing too strategic. But mine was bread, and then I'm not a big potato person, but I went down potato, and then amount of butter as well, because I know us mob, we like spreading the butter like cheese, you know, especially when there's Vegemite or jams or spreads or whatever, you know. And then from that, I started enjoying using avocado as my spread. I didn't think I would ever do it, but it was avocado is really quite nice. Don't go crazy on it, but it's a good substitute. Put some chicken and put some cheese on there. Mm-mm, too lovely.
Sounds beautiful.
Lovely.
I want to talk about feet.
Can I come back to that? Is that all right?
Do you want to go to a song? Because I've got a good song lined up, Mark.
Well, I might just go back to something that Megan mentioned.
Yeah.
Just quickly. And she mentioned about the need for sort of families to talk about it, particularly with the children. And I got a bit of a story I can share. You know?
Yeah, please do.
It was a very well-known Olympian that developed diabetes in pregnancy, and she sort of said to me, Aboriginal lady, and she mentioned to me that, you know, she wasn't aware that her mother had diabetes, and because she grew up not knowing that. And so she sort of said, well, why wasn't I told that? If I'd known that, perhaps I would have done things a bit differently as an adult. And so it's a really good kind of message. I think it's important for people, any person with diabetes, but to share that with their children and their family in general.
I think there's more to share today. I mean, health promotion in the field of diabetes, whether you are black or white, you know, is excellent compared to back in the 60s. My grandfather wasn't diagnosed and he died in his sleep from diabetes, you know.
It's sad.
Yeah, but like I said, it's just a sneaky one.
Big girl, you also mentioned shame.
Yep.
There's no shame in having type 2 diabetes. There's a lot of shame is put on people because people have the opinion that, well, you know, you're fat and you're unfit and it's your own fault.
Yeah.
And that's really not the case, because while there are those things you can change, there's in your genetic makeup, in how you're made up, in some people it's waiting there to be triggered. So there's no shame. There's just a case of, okay, well, I've got it, let's deal with it, and let's talk about it. The more we can talk about it and deal with it, the more we can support people, because the shame that's associated with type 2 diabetes often stops people going to seek help when they need it, or when they want to, and so then their condition gets worse and worse and worse when we could have stopped some things to start with.
Mm.
So it's about supporting each other and going for help when you need it.
Megan, you were speaking about fruit earlier on. What are some of the good fruits? Because not all fruits are good for us as diabetics.
Well, in general, all fruits are pretty good. I think it's some that if you have diabetes, then you can, if you have too much of one thing at one time, that can have an impact on your glucose levels. But certainly from a prevention point of view, fruit is a much better way of getting energy when you compare it to, say, a fruity drink, where the glucose gets into your bloodstream a lot quicker. And you would, plus eating a piece of fruit gives you a lot of vitamins and minerals that are really essential.
Not so, watermelon, Mark. You're wrong on that one.
Well,
watermelon. Do not have watermelon or have it in very small portions, as in a fruit salad, because big girly are trying to lose weight. Years ago, having a nice healthy salad, a little bit of cold meat and biggest mob of watermelon all day, every day, and then in hospital for quite a while. And
you're right, quantity is important.
Yeah, but watermelon is very high in sugar. I don't know why they call it watermelon, they should have called it sugar melon. Yeah. We're going to go to a song. Speaking of fruits, Mary G with Fruit Song. Na 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 na.
Apple that they call Mama John.
Thank you, Mary G, and the fruit song there on Health Matters. We're talking about diabetes, and we have spoken about fruit and food and exercise, what diabetes is, how to prevent getting it, the symptoms. And I do want to have a talk between Mark and Helen about foot care and how does our feet come into it if we're diabetes?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question, and it's important because people with diabetes who have foot problems the most regularly attend the hospital. And so it's the number one reason why people with diabetes need to go to the hospital and stay in hospital for a treatment. So having diabetes, it's important to look after your feet. And why? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Is that there are two things that can occur. Your blood flow to your feet is quite important, and also the nerves that go to your feet are quite important. And if those two sort of structures in your leg and your feet aren't kind of working properly, then your body, your feet aren't going to, number one, if your nerves aren't working properly, not be able to recognise if you've got a cut, for example, on your foot, or if you're feeling something that's hot, that should be, you sort of realise that it's hot and you lift your foot off, and so if you don't realise that, you might get burned and those sort of things. So the nerve, the way the nerves work is important, but if your blood flow is also not working properly down to there, you're not going to get the oxygen and the nutrients from your blood, one, to actually repair the problems, but also two, you might not get the immune system cells down there, the white blood cells down there to fight an infection if you get something wrong with your foot. So people with diabetes obviously need to take care of their feet, and one of the things they can do is regularly look at their feet to make sure that they've certainly the skin's intact and there's no problems there. Have a look at the structures around their feet, like the nails and the skin, to make sure that there's no sort of calluses. Just sort of mention here that I'm not a podiatrist, and
That's another one. People got to go and see a podiatrist.
That's right. So that's important. So you can go and see your local doctor. It might be the Aboriginal Medical Service. You can also see a podiatrist, and also see a local nurse or a diabetes educator. They can all check your feet. But a podiatrist can actually really help you manage your foot if you have problems like ingrown toenails or calluses that need to. Might cause rubbing and then further problems. So that's really quite important. And, there is a service that's in Perth that's called
Woolwich Jenner.
That's right. You said it. I do want to say because you.
Right out of, yep.
That's right.
Woolwich Jenner.
Yes.
Which means good fate or solid fate.
Right.
Yep. Mm. And they're very good. Because I go to Woolwich Jenner.
Right.
And every 6 weeks.
Excellent.
Yeah. So you don't have to go there every week unless you've got really bad feet. But, I mean, you can lose your feet. You can get them chopped off or your toes or whatever. It's really important stuff with the circulation and the yes. infections.
Yes.
And they come really fast.
That's right.
They
that's
come
right.
really fast. And yeah. you've been there and done that.
So you understand.
I understand.
And what
Mark was saying, your mob, is yes, people with diabetes have different sensors on their feet, so you could basically be walking in a shopping centre with thongs or thin-soled shoes on, and a nail or a drawing pin or sharp item could go into your foot and you wouldn't have a clue that it was there, because what you feel entering your feet is different from someone without diabetes.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me
with
a tiny piece of glass and got really sick. And
it's important to just also mention that just because you have diabetes doesn't mean you will get a problem with your feet.
It's
important to say that it's a risk that if you have diabetes. But the number one way of preventing problems is actually to manage, as we talked about before a little bit,
manage your diabetes in a really good way to keep those really important glucose levels in the blood at a good level. You know, between 4 and 8 most of the time, and under 10 definitely. But if you can do that, the glucose levels.
I would say just look after your feet anyway, and get them tested anyway.
Definitely.
Whether your sugar levels are good. Whatever, get your feet done, anyway.
That's a really good message.
Get it done anyways. It's not hurting.
Also, it's really important too to remember that it's great to make the appointments to go to Mortage Jenner and to see professionals, but you're the one living with your diabetes. So 99% of the time, you're the one responsible for it. So check your feet every day, whether it's before you go to bed, before you get up. And if you have trouble seeing the bottom of your feet, you can use a mirror. Sometimes that's really easy to use a mirror to have a look at the bottom of your feet, to see if there's anything, that's different from the day before, or something stuck or a little cut or something like that. And then just get on to managing that straight away.
Don't mess around with it. And if you can't see your feet, if you've got the big tummy like me, get someone to look at your feet, or go to Mortage Jenner or get your partner or something like that. But you're probably better off going to Mortage Jenner. And there are actually some little, I'm trying to explain it. This is
like a mirror on a stick.
Yeah, mirror on a stick. Yeah. Let's call it a mirror on a stick.
Like a selfie stick.
Like a selfie stick with a mirror. And you can actually have a look at your own.
You could even use a selfie stick on your phone and take a photograph.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Yeah. And with your Faye, just quickly, because I want to talk to you a bit more about the NDSS, Helen, but it's really important to keep your feet nice and moisturised, because cracks in your feet is something that you definitely don't want, because once your feet start cracking, things are more than likely to enter. So, Helen, over the past few months, there have been a number of changes, I believe, to the National Diabetes Service Scheme. So can you tell us a bit about these changes and how they've impacted on Aboriginal people living around this area in the metro?
So changes to the NDSS have affected where the strips that people use for blood glucose testing, where you can the mechanism or the way that strips are paid for. So they used to be on the PBS, so the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme. And now they've moved across to the NDSS. So where you could go to your Aboriginal Medical Service and get your strips, you still can do that. So Diabetes WA is helping the Aboriginal Medical Services around the state to make sure that can stay in place. But it does make it more important for people to be registered on the NDSS, just to assist the medical services to keep the supply of strips up. So also the way the NDSS works has changed. So Diabetes WA used to provide products to people in Western Australia. Now that's going to be done through community pharmacies around the state, and of course still through your AMSs if you're an Aboriginal person. Also, the NDSS isn't just about products, it's also about services, and that's how Diabetes WA can support Aboriginal people in the community by providing the booklets and resources that I've shown you, Big Girl, and that you've mentioned, and we'll provide links to those resources, but we can provide them for free for Aboriginal people. We can also come and talk to groups. We work with Aboriginal medical services and health professionals to help them have the best programs and materials about diabetes for Aboriginal people, and we work directly with the community to modify our programs to make sure that what we're delivering is what Aboriginal people want and how they want to deliver it. So that's with the NDSS, really. Also, what we have is we have a telehealth service. So we have a service that we say there is no wrong door, which means you don't have to have a referral or your doctor to tell you to ring us. And for country people and regional people, they can talk to a diabetes educator on the phone about their diabetes or on their device, if they've got it on their iPad or their phone or Android, and can talk to a diabetes educator about their diabetes if they've got any worries by ringing Diabetes WA as well.
And your website address?
Our website address is, it is www.diabeteswa.org. www.aboutdiabetes.com.au, and we also have a link on there to a special Aboriginal diabetes website as well, which is all the information that I've been talking about as well.
Well, it's been great having you. Next time, bring fruit. Nah, only joking.
But not watermelon.
But not watermelon. Oh, no, I don't want to go there. So doing a bit of a wrap-up, what are the key messages, Mark and Helen, that you really want to get out there before the show finishes?
Well, I'll start off, and Helen can have a last hurrah, perhaps, and just say something if I forget something.
Give me the last word.
I think it's important. I think it's important to certainly know the risk that you might have. You know, thinking about your family, thinking about your age, thinking about your body shape and those things. But then also making sure that you really stay active, physically active, and eating generally a healthy food. And those two things are pretty well everyone can do, but really important to stay active.
Big Girl, can I just add one more thing? We have a specific program called Desmond, which is Diabetes Education Self-Management for Ongoing and Newly Diagnosed. Big, long word. That's why it's shortened to Desmond. But we're running that currently for Aboriginal people and developing a specific program. And that's a great program to come and learn how to deal with your diabetes. And it's run by health professionals, but it's different. The fact is that we want to hear people's stories. So it's led by people in the group to tell their stories about their diabetes. And then we use that to start helping them to problem solve as to how they can live with their diabetes every day. So we'll leave some information if people would like to do that. And from that, I think the key message I'd like to leave is that diabetes belongs to the person that has it. The health system and all of us are there to help and support, as families are as well. There's no need to be ashamed of it. Own it. And as Mark said, it's about looking after yourself and having your family help you do that. And just take it one day at a time. Try not to be overwhelmed by the changes you need to make. Make small changes over time and ask for help and let us support you. Let people around you support you.
Sounds good. And less stress.
Indeed.
Everybody, less stress, because that has an impact on diabetes, as well as exercising.
Well, spring's coming, it's good to get outdoors.
Get out.
It's good for stress too.
Definitely is to get that vitamin D.
Indeed.
Thank you very much. Great topic. I reckon we could go till this afternoon, or tonight even, maybe talking about diabetes. But yes, it was great to have Megan Burley, who had to leave, the Assistant Director of Networks in the Department of Health, and Mark Shah, the co-lead Diabetes Network. Great to have you here, Mark.
Thank you
so much. And it was great for your input on young people and children as well, and great place you work, PMH. Helen Mitchell, General Manager of Health Services Diabetes WA, always doing wonderful things as well there, and great to have you in, Helen.
Thank you, Big Girl.
And thanks for that. Thanks for the updates as well, because I normally get those strips on a script, but I can go in and get it all together. You've been listening to Health Matters, and the program comes to you from Noongar Radio every fortnight on a Wednesday at 11 a.m. and it repeats. So I do spread the word if you have someone that needs to know more about diabetes. They can listen on Sunday, 9 o'clock. Don't forget the website, healthywa.wa.gov.au. Get heaps of information. You can also hear a podcast of Health Matters